The two hemispheres of the brain and spirituality. The scenic route of getting some teaching and making it your own. Making it nurturing, life-affirming tree of life knowledge. I want to share a phenomenon that, hopefully, will get clearer as I am sharing it. At the moment I can only see its visible aspect. I am almost certain it has an invisible aspect as well. I read about 3 hours a day. Something that isn't connected to my work, fiction. But recently I have taken on a 20-day challenge, listen to 20 episodes of a Hungarian psychologist, Dr. Peter Popper, in his Master Cursus, Master Course, series, an hour long each. Excellent, fascinating, the dude is both a psychologist, a university professor, a clinician, and a religion expert. Whatever that means. The truth value of the episodes varies between 10% and 50%. I listen to the episodes at 1.5x speed, he talks slowly. He is old. He died soon after the episodes I have watched. He was 77. Okay, so far the background. Now the issue, he brings up things I'd like to incorporate in my teaching, and instead, I can't write. I cannot make myself repeat what he said. So for the first time in ages, for example, yesterday I didn't write an article. I am starting to see that I have never been able to just repeat what a book or a person said. I always had to digest it first. I had to connect it to what I already had in long-term storage. Connect it to stuff that, in the limited perspective of the human mind, was reality, true, and useful. Okay, this seems to be working. I am starting to see something that connects here. When I look at a person when they hear something new, they can look up, or they can continue looking forward. When they look up. When they look up, meaning their eyes look up, they are checking in their minds for information that is already there, if they should consider the new thing. When they keep on looking forward, very rare, that is what I do, they are looking inward, to where the long-term memory storage and the equipment to evaluate the new for inclusion resides. Because I don't use the mind, I do use it about 7% of the day, I don't look up. I pretty much have nothing in the mind. Whatever I find is in people's minds is anyways crap. Connecting to nothing. One other thing about that, the two hemispheres of the brain. Muscle test says that the theory of left brain and right brain are half-truths, the functions are not hemisphere located, it is a how thing, not a where or what thing. My mode of hearing and digesting is right hemisphere way to hear and digest. Left brain. The mind is a linear slow step-by-step machine, like an adding machine, all left brain. Memorizing is left brain. Adding, multiplying, etc. are left brain. It has a narrow cone of vision, it is inflexible, it contains myriads of incongruencies, the mind cannot check for consistency and congruency. Right brain. Music creation, poetry, higher mathematics, truth, beauty and goodness are right brain. All come from and is processed in the so-called right brain. Anything that you repeat is coming from the mind, the left brain. No creativity there. No coherence. Nothing beautiful or even wholesome. And surprise, not even understanding. A tape recorder turned on. 99% of what you hear or what you read came from someone's left brain. And you listening to it with a mind as well. The entire humanity is trapped in the left brain, where none of what is worth living for, none of what makes life beautiful comes from. But humans, genetically, crave to experience their godlike aspect, crave to experience the sublime, the non-linear, the inspiring, the wordless. But because all of life, or 99% of life is pedestrian, non-magical, non-inspiring for them, because from the left brain you cannot access the vertical aspects of existence, they will use their minds to manufacture stuff that isn't real, by using the mind to visualize, imagine, and believe it to be true. Or alternatively use chemical stuff to experience something of the beyond. It is an authentic need to experience the beyond. Everyone craves it. Intimacy is from the beyond. Love, ditto. But in a society where you cannot even taste your food, cannot feel love or warmth, cannot get inspired, because the whole society is hell-bent on keeping you using only the left brain, having access to the right brain only happens as a happy accident. I am looking at the famous book I first read in 1977, Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. What isn't clear, hasn't been clear is suddenly very clear, the children reared in vitro, in tubes, only use their left brain. Their hunger for transcendental is denied, so need to be fed soma, a drug to calm them down. A replacement. John, who was born naturally, is right brain centered. And there cannot be anything for him in a left brain world, where people cannot hear him, and he cannot hear them either. So what happens in my courses? Very interesting to look at. I had a session of the playground yesterday, and I had a webinar earlier in the week. I thought of asking this question of source. Does my teaching affect the brain dominance, if people use their left brain less, and their right brain more? A tad vague. So let me rephrase that so the answer I get will be useful. How many percentage of their brain does a person use in the right brain way? Why is this important? I want to know if my teaching, if the partner calls, if the workshops make a difference in connecting people to the transcendental, to their godlike self. And also if the people who have a real difficulty following me to the rabbit hole, difficulty emotionally and intellectually, if their issue is that they cannot follow me with purely left brain methods. With the mind. I found that the left brain activity score and the about me score is the same. I am yet to see why. I can see that the more you see the world from and through yourself, the less inspiration, creativity, access to the transcendental, the less connection to the divine is available to you. I can also see that the students who take their courses seriously, have been able to change their about me score by a lot, and have gained access to joy, self-expression, a sense of well-being as a person, even if their health is not quite there. I can see it, I can feel it, and it is not a coherent whole yet. But I am starting to see that the question people ultimately ask me, how do I reduce the about me score, comes from a fix-it mentality, as if having a high about me score were wrong. Having a high about me score is not wrong. It is only a way to approach life that won't allow you to see reality, and the beauty in life. How do you change it? My hunch says that you cannot directly influence that number. You can do the work of distinguishing reality through the methodology I teach in the playground. And there will be a moment, when you'll be able to see that there is no suffering, there is nothing wrong, that there is nothing lacking in reality. In that moment you involuntarily chuckle. It will tickle your funny bone. But pretending that it's funny won't do it. If it takes you longer than for others, the longer you can hang in there the more likely you'll get there. I love a story I heard yesterday. This Native American dude in Arizona is known to be a rainmaker. His success rate is 100%. How does he do it? He dances for rain. He doesn't stop until it rains. That is his secret, and that can be your secret too. I have had students who move sideways, or quit, often hurling curses at me. They could not see that hanging in there, doing the work would get them there. I have asked Source, muscle tested, if there are any of my people who cannot change. I didn't get any straight no people, although many tested halfway. Which means, these are the people who, when the going gets tough, when what they need to see is not pretty, who will not want to own who they have been, will want to quit one way or another. Each person has a dark side, and some dark side stuff is easier to accept and embrace than others. Surprisingly the hardest are, at least this is how at this point seems to be, the I am not special, I'm like other people. But insisting on being special robs you of living life fully and honestly. So the other side is joy. The second hardest is accepting that you go to hatred at the drop of a hat. Hatred doesn't feel good, neither hating yourself nor hating another. So admitting to it is hard, but actually easier than admitting that you are not special. On this side of this breakthrough, on this side of this transformation, your life is invested in looking and being considered special. No joy. On the other side of this transformation, the world is your oyster. You have nothing to hide, nothing to pretend. You have access to the divine dimensions of life, beauty, truth, goodness. And get your energy from there. You may even have the experience of being at home. Really at home. In your body, in your life. I remember when that happened for me. It happened right after I was able to see that I wasn't a kind person, that I was treating people unkindly. This part of my soul correction, the visible part. Once I could see it, own it, grieve it, I could connect to Source. Whatever that is, and life hasn't been the same. I stopped being a seeker, and became a finder. I found home. With every activator the first job is to see that you are not like that. Unless you go through the seeing, owning, grieving it periods, the activator will disconnect. Deactivates. I haven't been unkind, intending to hurt, since the time back in 2005 when I worked on activating kindness in my DNA. In the 10 basic ways you are not good in life, there is a lot to confront. I call these the third phase activators. You do 90% of the work. The energy does the 10%. Try your hand on the basics,